We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's up? Welcome in. Episode 102, Hogan Johns, back here in Bourbonnais after, well, we both got a couple days off, actually.
Did we?
Well, kind of.
Don't tell my colleagues that.
I know.
Well, hey, man goes to Ireland in a reunion, he can't get any, you know, slack or help for it. He just gets crapped on for it.
You know, I got to say, I am fully on Team Potsy on this one. You get a whole week off at training camp. You work for 3 days and then you get a day off.
There was.
I feel like they. I'm actually with them.
He didn't go to family day.
Yeah, but he still. You know.
Yeah.
Who went? Pat.
Pat. Yeah.
Okay. And Pat's too nice to get angry about anything. Not that Potsy's not nice, but Potsy at least has the balls to call some people out sometimes.
He can speak impassioned. He's an impassioned man.
He got you with a tweet.
It was good.
Potsy's had his Twitter game going in camp.
They're made for each other.
He's been all over Joniak. He got on you on Saturday. It's great. It's great. This is episode 102, and we're back here in Bourbonnais. Bears at Family Fest Saturday, an off day Sunday. Practice as we record on Monday. And they'll practice tomorrow and then get ready for this game Thursday against the Denver Broncos, the fighting Trevor Siemians, who will get the start, we found out today, from Vance Joseph,
mm-hmm.
who I forget is the head coach of the Broncos. Like, I still think Gary Kubiak's their coach.
Did he work for the team in some capacity?
Yeah, he got hired last week as, like, a scout or something.
That's right.
Scouting advisor.
The old Jill Quenneville scouting maneuver. Hire him as a scout, make him the coach a couple years later.
Yeah, yeah.
Come back.
We'll see. So the Bears do have a game this week. There will be actual football played at Soldier Field Thursday night. I don't know if you saw the weather. I know it's only Monday as we record this, but talk about storms already Thursday night. That can make things interesting.
As if that field needs any more damage all this right. Early in the year.
Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us, WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Find it on TuneIn, WGN Radio app. Plenty of other places where you like to listen to your podcasts. And if you can, please rate and review the pod. All right, well, we ended the last episode in a way that we're going to start this one. Jay Cutler.
How about this story?
He is back. What was your favorite part about Jay Cutler's retirement?
I don't want to say my favorite, but the most notable part. You can't say favorite with this one.
No. The naked photo is my favorite.
It's your favorite? Okay.
Oh, yeah. How could
you
it not
said
be?
It, you said it.
That he wasn't even retired yet. That was during the owners' meeting.
That was during.
I remember sitting there.
What a message.
I remember sitting there, and you, because you weren't at the owners' meetings because your third child was being born.
Yes.
Congratulations. Also, congrats on still being sane.
Oh.
How many months later?
just wait.
With three little boys.
Now we got work coming. Okay.
Right. Anyway, I think you were the one that first like retweeted that morning.
Yeah, we subtweeted.
Because we were at the owner's meetings. I go, what is that? That is naked Jay Cutler.
Yeah. You guys don't follow KKF on Twitter? Or Instagram? No, Instagram.
This is what I depend on you for. You know, certain beat guys have different specialties. You know, Potsy's is tweeting about other members of the beat.
My specialty cannot be following wives and particular others, significant others of players.
You're the creep.
I'm not the creep. I am not the creep.
Hey, it has its benefits. I mean,
creeping has no benefits.
When it involves.
We cannot start this.
When it
if
involves,
you're listening. Out there, I am not the creep. Don't tweet me at the creep.
At the creep. That's a new Twitter handle. I'm sure it's taken.
There's many other beat writers who creep much more than you or I.
Yes.
There are some true creeps
especially
on this beat.
Especially on Snapchat.
There are true creeps on this beat.
But you know what? The benefit of being an Instagram creep is that you unearth the naked Jay Cutler photo. You know what? He was staring off into the ocean that day, pondering his future, and he saw a dolphin.
There you go.
He knew it was a sign. He didn't know when or how it was going to come, but his boy Adam Gase said, "Hey, how about $10 million? Will that get you
some incentives too, huh?
Will that get you to leave your brand new, beautiful mansion in Nashville, come down to Miami?"
Talk about a perfect situation. Yeah. Of all the teams, I'm sure if – let's throw me out a quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger or who else is out there? Brian Hoyer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gets hurt. I'm sure Jay Cutler maybe gets a call.
Right, but I think he was being somewhat picky too. You know, he wanted wanted to be in a place where he could – you know, that was
– But this is the most perfect situation.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Gase, pretty good offense, pretty good running back, offensive line. But Gase – it can't get any better than this for Cutler. A team who made the playoffs.
Yep. Playoff. Now, there's a lot of people who think that was somewhat of a fluke.
Still made it.
But it, you know what? Forget about last year. I mean, it's a talented offense.
Yeah.
You know, he has actual receivers to throw the ball to. Jay Ajayi proved he could run the ball last year. And I think we have enough evidence, having covered Adam Gase here, what he did in Denver, what he's now doing in Miami, the guy can coach.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's fair to, you know, say at this point, if this Bears season goes south this year and there ends up being a new head coach, you're going to look at the guy who got away. Now, I'm not saying at the time I was saying, oh, you should fire John Fox and keep Adam Gase around because he has an offer. I don't think that was really feasible, but that doesn't mean that in hindsight you can't look at it and go, man, maybe the guy you wanted to lead this thing, it got away from you, and the, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. But Adam Gase can coach. I feel pretty confident in saying that. And Jay Cutler, I don't know if he can really play quarterback at a high level or not. He certainly has the talent to. And when we saw in 2015 when he and Adam Gase were together, Jay put together a very good, not great, but good year, in which, most importantly, he didn't turn the football over a lot.
Yeah. Dare I say, now he's not the same quarterback he was 5 years ago, 8 years ago, when he brought so much promise and hope to the city of Chicago. But in terms of surrounding him with a combination of the right coach and the right players, is this arguably the best situation Jay Cutler has been in? I'm talking about coach and players.
Yeah, I mean,
I know that with the Trestman thing, it sounded great from the start, but that thing kind of imploded.
Thinking about Denver. Without a doubt, it's better in any situation he had in Chicago.
But things in Denver even got away.
It did, but I guess what I'm saying is maybe the only thing that you would say is comparable is the situation he was drafted in.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back and go, oh, he had Eddie Royal, who turned out to, you know.
In terms of, coach who, like, truly believes in him.
He had Brandon Marshall and he had Mike Shanahan. Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad situation he was drafted in. Now, it all went south. They hired a different guy. But what I was going to get to is if you combine Jay's wisdom, his maturity into this, it's the best marriage. You know, like Jay, I think we can say was not mature enough to handle maybe that situation he had in Denver, which was a pretty nice situation to be in. He has matured over the years. So if you combine both sides, I think this is definitely the best situation to produce victories and go to the playoffs.
Now, I would say he's less of a player, though, than at any stop in his career. He hasn't played a full season in how long?
Right. I mean,
something always comes up.
Right. And I said this yesterday on my radio show. I mean, I doubt he'll play 16 games this year. The numbers tell you he won't. He has not done that since his first year in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, Zach Miller, and we're going to get into plenty of other stuff here today. There was some offensive line injury news, our first catastrophic injury of the preseason, and we do have this game coming up Thursday night, and what we want to discuss, and I think what fans want to know the most, is who's going to play and how much. Right now, we can't really answer that for sure, but we can give you our opinions on what we think, who should play, who shouldn't play, how much different players should play, especially at the quarterback position. So we'll get into that here in a little bit. But Zach Miller today kind of became the spokesperson for the Jay Cutler news in terms of how it impacted the Bears. John Fox answered some questions, didn't really say much. We don't have access to Dell Loggins anymore until the season starts. So, you know, Zach Miller still talks to Jay. In fact, he was texting with Jay this weekend. He still, I'm sure, is in contact with Adam Gase, has a good relationship with Adam Gase, and had success, was part of that success in 2015. So here's what Zach Miller had to say today. I think it's worth bringing back to you from here at Bourbonnais. Starting with, was he surprised that Jay Cutler came out of retirement?
I'm not surprised. If you guys go back to when this whole thing started, I knew he had a lot of football left. I'm happy to have him back in the game. Obviously, he's a great friend of mine, and to have him back in football is cool for me because I get to watch him play, hopefully ball out.
So for the Dolphins fans that don't know him besides what they, you know about him and from, you know, media and everything, what are they getting in Miami? What kind of guy is Jay? What kind of quarterback is he?
Well, they're not going to get the real Jay Cutler. You guys never got the real Jay Cutler. I mean, they're gonna get a hell of a quarterback, in my opinion. A guy who's already been in that system and knows that system and played very well under that system. Obviously, him and Adam had a great relationship in what they were doing, so hopefully he steps in and he's ready to go, and they get a leader, a natural leader on their football team, and they can win some games.
You had a big year that year, 2015. Mm-hmm. What was it offensively that worked so well with everyone, including Jay, when Adam was here?
I mean, we took care of the football. I think that was one of his best years as far as turnover ratio and just played well together. That's kind of how it was, and took care of the football. That's how you progress offensively. Is the main thing is take care of the football, and Jay did that year, so we're all right.
Zach, what did you send from Jay and Gase's personalities that mesh well together?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I assume that's kind of what you're talking about, the relationship.
Yeah. I think Adam gave him, like, full reign and just, like, comfort of to be himself and to be a leader and really step up, be a little more vocal and connect in a different way with other players and other people than he did in the past. And I think that's why he played so well.
Did you send him a text or anything? Just let him know. Congratulations.
I did. I talked to him quite often. And he texts me back and he goes, "I'm doing it." So... And that made me happy. I texted him. I was like, "I'm ear to ear, man." So I was happy to see him back in it.
I thought the second to last answer was interesting. Question was basically, what was it about Adam Gase and Jay Cutler's personality that meshed together? And Zach said that Adam was basically able to get him to be more vocal and connect. That was the word he used, connect with people. I think it goes beyond just the players, too. In ways that he hadn't before. So I thought that was interesting.
He knew how to challenge him. And Dell Loggins did too, an extent. You know, other coaches in the past had clearly previous issues with Jay Cutler. Mike Martz, Mike Tice, two didn't talk at all. Now, I think a lot of it has to do with the mutual respect. A lot of it has to do with the head coach kind of stepping in and being an intermediary when he has to be. I don't think Lovie Smith did that. I don't know if Lovie Smith ever really was in Jay Cutler's corner in many aspects. Adam Gase is clearly not only is the head coach of that team, but is the offensive mind of that team in Jay Cutler's corner. So that's why, again, I think it's such a unique situation for him to walk into at this late stage of his career. Look, he's not the same player. He's not. Can't stay healthy. It's a realistic problem. The arm strength may or may not be there. Let's not forget he had a torn labrum. But the situation with the coach, the system, relationships, it's a good one for Jay Cutler to succeed.
I think Jay Cutler had a lot to do with Adam Gase getting that job.
Oh, a ton.
I mean, it's
I don't want to overrate that 92.3 passer rating either. That 1 year. Because let's be honest, it's middle of the pack.
Yeah, it's not that great. But no. I think it's more so what Zach Miller was just talking about. You can go through a whole list of offense coordinators that couldn't connect with Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Gase was able to. And I think the Dolphins looked at that and said, well, we got a young guy in Ryan Tannehill here. We need a guy who's good with quarterbacks. We need help with this offense. And this guy got through to Jay Cutler. Yeah, we'll hire him. So... I think that Jay had a big – was a big reason why Adam Gase ended up in Miami as the head coach. And so now it's – I mean, it's very fascinating. We're obviously interested in the story because he's, you know, maybe the most notable quarterback who's ever played for the Chicago Bears.
Yep. Sorry, Sid Luckman.
Whether you want – what I just said notable. I mean, what you can argue over who's the best. I mean, it's probably still Jay, but – I'm just saying, like, certainly in terms of polarizing figures in Chicago sports history, Cutler's near the top.
Yep.
So, it's if you're Miami, though, this is still, I mean, this is still incredibly fascinating to watch. I mean, I think Ryan Tannehill, not from a personality standpoint, is as polarizing, but certainly as, you know, is this guy ever going to live up to the expectations for the Dolphins? Injuries, things like that, and he goes down. And if you're covering the Dolphins or just a fan of the Miami Dolphins, you're going, all right, what do we do now? Matt Moore? Or do we go with Jay Cutler, who, you know, doesn't necessarily have the greatest reputation around the league, just in terms of, you know, I think most fans somewhat unfairly just sort of laugh him off.
Well, right, he's become like an internet meme.
Yeah,
the smoking Jay Cutler stuff. It's like the Jordan crying meme, you know? It's just
right, so if you're a fan, are you welcoming Jay? I don't think you have a choice.
No.
I think you have to look at the success Gase had with Cuddy in 1 year and just go, okay, let's get the most out of him here because we have a playoff team. And if Matt Moore has to spell Jay Cutler for 2 or 3 games, fine. But if he has to start all 16, yikes.
Oh, you're in trouble. I just think the whole national media, they're always going to have this opinion of Jay Cutler. Like even today, he made the comment about not having to be in shape because he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
We've heard that before a couple times here.
Did he get criticized for that?
I believe that's what the Twitter reaction is.
That's
his dry sense of humor.
That's something that we learned from Cutler. Is
through years of covering the guy.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just him.
That's a joke.
It's a joke. They should learn he's a phenomenal athlete, actually. Could be the best on that team.
Well, I imagine he's still in shape, because I don't think Kristen would let him get out of shape. I mean,
we're going into tabloid journalism now?
I don't know. You saw the naked photo.
Okay.
It's not tabloid. It's whether or not your quarterback's in shape matters.
Right. I work for a tabloid. It's okay.
Yeah, you do. That's a good point. All right. Well, you're right. Cuddy's back.
He is back.
We
debated that on and off the microphones.
Yeah,
last week.
We were when we recorded our last episode. It was like literally in the middle of different reports coming out. How serious was the Tannehill injury? But I think you and I were on the same page that if we at the time we didn't know how serious the Tannehill injury was. It didn't look good, and we both said, "All right." If he's out for the year and they need to go get a quarterback, Cutler just
made too much sense.
Yeah, and that's what happened. All right. Well, speaking of guys out for the year, unfortunately the Bears have their first one of those. Erik Kush will be placed on injured reserve with a torn hamstring, which he suffered on Friday, John Vox revealed today. This was, though, sort of an ongoing thing. He came up with a hamstring injury a week ago, and was limited in practice, tried to come back.
Should have waited.
Yeah, I think we've now, John Fox tried to say, all right, it's a different part of the hamstring. It's the same hamstring, yeah. And he had a hamstring injury. He tried to come back and play on it, and it tore off the bone. So he's now have to have surgery and is out for the year. So, yeah, I think it's fair to wonder kind of the questioning there on how much a guy needed to push it. But Kyle Long has not been out there practicing a whole lot in team situations, and Kush was, I think, trying to cement himself as certainly the swing guard, but a viable replacement for Kyle Long, depending on how long this Kyle Long thing goes. So, unfortunately, he's out for the year, and that's a guy the Bears signed to a 2-year extension in the offseason.
I mean, some guys like to push themselves.
Yeah.
Look, you can complain about the whole Bears injury situation again and how they treat certain players and how, just in general, how their medical philosophies are, because here's another serious injury happening to the Chicago Bears. But look, it is football. Sometimes the players' own individual actions come into play. you used the word catastrophic earlier. It's catastrophic for Eric Kush in terms of the Bears. It's your backup swing guard and center. And I know that's important.
Well, it's better than a starter.
Yes, yes. I mean, last year's Hronis Gersuit injury, that was major. He was your starting center at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Gersuit is probably your swing guard and center.
Well, it's interesting because today, and John Fox talked about this after practice, Cody Whitehair got reps at left guard.
Yes, he did.
With Gersuit.
Not many.
But if you had to pick between Whitehair and Gersuit to play guard, basically the question is, you keep Whitehair at center where he's been so good and play Gersuit probably out of position. I mean, I don't know if...
Now, he said today, I talked to the guy.
You talked to who?
Gersuit.
Okay.
That he felt like he's getting more comfortable at guard and that he didn't really miss the football.
Okay, that's fine, but I think there's some definite doubts within the Bears organization whether Gersuit can play guard.
Probably.
Which is why they started thinking about... Obviously,
well, Ryan Pace has called him center only.
Yeah.
And now, since then, they've actually tried him at guard.
Well, they kind of have to. Well, yeah. And
even before the injury, though.
Let's not read too much into this. It is early August, and it's their job right now in training camp to experiment, mm-hmm. to see what guys can do.
Yeah.
So pads are on. This is really your only time of year where you can truly evaluate that in practice. So go out and do it. So that's why you're seeing some of Gersuit at guard. And today you saw sliding Whitehair over to left guard and Gersuit playing center, which is his natural position. Mm-hmm. A position he was playing well last year before he got hurt.
Well, he was the starter there.
Yeah. So now, of course, this shouldn't matter if Kyle Long's back and healthy, because mm-hmm. he should be your left guard and Whitehair would be at center then. And then Gersuit would still be your backup. I mean, we are talking about the backup guard here in Kush that got hurt. But they need to have a plan, I think. The way Kyle Long's still slowly coming back, you have to figure out what your next best situation is. Tom Compton's been working at guard a lot. And, I mean, that's where I think this depth has proven to be a problem for this team the last 2 years. So I'm not going to poo-poo Eric Kush getting hurt. The guy filled in pretty well last year when he was asked to.
Yeah.
And now he's not available this season.
I thought last year sort of Ted Larson filling in.
He's out for the year, too.
Only torn bicep for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to overreact to a backup getting hurt.
That's fair.
I know depth's important. You lose any starter, depth comes into question, but that's true for every single team in the league.
Well, it may put more on the plate of Jordan Morgan, too, their fifth round pick, who we haven't really heard a whole lot from or people talking about so far. It's still really
early. Ryan Pace compared him to Jarry Evans when he was drafted, and there are so many similarities in their they both didn't play much high school football. They both played in the same small school conference in Pennsylvania. And when Jarry Evans became Jarry Evans, he got the starter's job by injury and became an all-pro player. So just saying, if they want to continue on this projection with Jordan Morgan, all you need is that injury.
That's how Charles Leno got his job. Jermaine Bushrod got hurt.
Yeah.
And he had to fill in, and he was doing a good job. Now, he still needs to prove himself to get a big left tackle contract, but he has not been bad, inconsistent. They need him to be a little bit more consistent, but that's how a lot of these guys work out. Jarry Evans is in Green Bay, by the way.
Yeah, he's an old player now.
Yeah, but they lost TJ Lang.
See? Now that's an injury.
Well, no, he went to Detroit.
I know. True. Okay.
He's from Michigan. He went to go play for the Lions instead of the Packers.
You mean I got to get up on my NFC North news?
Yeah, I've been reading some magazines.
I've been in Ireland.
That's right.
I want to go back.
You feel how I felt in Mobile this year when I got off a plane from Hawaii and got on a plane to Alabama.
Just lost?
And it was miserable.
I feel a bit behind. I do.
But I'm just talking about like life and mood. Like you go from Ireland to Bourbonnais, that sucks. I was like legitimately depressed in Mobile this year.
Really?
Dude, I was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I was home for like 4 hours and got on a plane to Alabama.
Yeah.
It was awful.
The homesickness.
I couldn't wait to go.
Seeing
home.
Your son.
Or back to Hawaii. All right. So that's your big news of the day outside of Cutler, just at least in terms of what's going on here in Berber Day. Now we turn our attention to Thursday night's preseason game against the Denver Broncos. But before we do that,
what does the Fox say?
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if it's not working, it can't be the SOS, and you can figure out what that means.
What the Fox say?
I can't figure out what that means.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Play that again. One more time.
Do you want the whole thing? Here, let me just...
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if it's not working, it can't be the SOS. And you can figure out what that means.
I like how he puts a quantifier. You can figure out what that
you
means.
Can like
I know I just threw out a bunch of gibberish. And I'll make a sense of it. You stupid
Did he
reporter.
Mean to say SOL?
I don't know.
Because that would that I can see why you figure
That's
out.
Good.
What that
That's right. good. That's yeah. good. That's good. That's one of the best ones.
That one is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My favorite still. I was a math major. I wasn't.
I was a math major. I wasn't actually, but.
I also dug up this one today.
I'm not really sure how to answer that.
Says that a lot.
He does say that.
All right. So. One of the, let's see, one I'm just thinking of this because it's a preseason game. I think a couple years ago I asked him, do you have any idea what the, can you give us any insight into what the plan is for Thursday? This is in, when I go on the Steve Cochran show, they play this in my open.
Yeah.
I asked him, hey, you got any insight? Can you give us any insight on the plan for Thursday? Keep in mind, this was the first time we'd ever covered him before a preseason mm-hmm. game. And he goes, no, not really. We used to ask that to Tressman. We would ask that to Tressman, and he'd like give us like the game plan.
He'd read an essay.
He'd be like, "Here's the first play we're gonna call."
Yeah. This should be simple. We talked about this on the sideline as people were taking pictures of us from behind. Glennon gets a half, and Trubisky gets a half. There's your game plan. Sorry, Mark Sanchez. Get your work at Bourbonnais. These two guys got to play.
Here's what my guess is going to be. I think Glennon plays.
He's not going to play much.
Deep though. Into the second quarter. If not the whole first half. I wouldn't be surprised if they give him the whole first half. Guy's never played in this offense. He hasn't thrown a pass. He's thrown 11 passes in the NFL since 2014. Hasn't started a game since 2014.
Still your starting quarterback.
Right, but he's an unproven starter.
Yeah.
And he's never played in a real game in this offense. I mean, you got to give him the work. I'm going
to
guess
but it's you still want him to be healthy.
Right. And I would say even Sanchez needs to get some work.
Oh, now you're changing your mind?
A little bit, because he, once again, you're still planning on him being your backup if something happens. And he's got to know the offense.
I thought he had a good day today.
He's had some good days.
Actually, he might have been the best out of the three today.
That's like the third time we've had to say that. I don't know if that's a good thing, that he had the best of the three. Yeah, I think you go Glennon into the second. Sanchez, you know, maybe finishes the second quarter. Plays a little bit in the third, and then you go Trubisky the rest
if
of the game.
If you're not going to play Trubisky at all this year, and that's the plan. Circumstances haven't changed. That's the plan still. You play Trubisky a lot in the preseason.
Yeah.
These are his snaps. His real live game action snaps. I know things are scaled back in the preseason. I know the defenses are less exotic. I mean, Vic Fangio is not going to surprise the Denver Broncos with a bunch of stuff. But it's still NFL players, NFL speed. It's still the offense you want him to learn. Play the kid a lot. An awful lot.
I don't hate your plan of just not playing Sanchez. Just give Glennon the first half, give Trubisky the second half. I don't hate that.
I mean, you're right. He's going to play. But
you gotta
that's what I would do.
You got to play it out the rest of the preseason, though. So then what do you do in the second? You know,
well, you could give Mark Sanchez a couple snaps here or there.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, you don't want to play your backup guy. He's here just because I get all the intangible reasons he's here. I completely get it. So let's not overrate what he's supposed to be on the field because you don't want to have that situation. Right, he can get plenty of reps elsewhere. He's been in the league a long time. He's been a starter.
What if they feel like they need to protect Trubisky because he is still kind of grasping the offense here? And it's not been a smooth operation in between snaps. I should say in between whistles. You know, just in terms of get to the huddle, get the play called, get everyone out of the huddle, identify the defense, slide your protection, get a clean snap, get a clean handoff, whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, it has not been smooth.
Yeah.
When he airs it out, it looks pretty good. You see the talent. But I'm just wondering. Now, I would say go test him. Have him go try to do all that in a game. But if he's still kind of struggling with it, I wouldn't be surprised if in this first game they actually go, let's use this as the opportunity to get Sanchez's work. And then, you know, we'll try to get Trubisky's probably going to play almost all that fourth preseason game right now.
You're probably right.
Because Connor Shaw at this point.
Well, he's got a screw ticket.
I mean, that was the guy. It's like you're almost only keeping him around to play the last preseason game. Now that's going to be Trubisky's game.
Yeah, should be anyway. I get the argument that a lot of people have. How is Trubisky going to get better if he's not playing?
He needs to play.
Yes. And I see both sides. You don't want to rush him in. You want to make sure you do your due course of process here and letting him learn. There's a lot to learn. Like you said, the whole system of playing quarterback, not to mention all the mental stuff you gotta handle. I would like to see him get much playing time as possible in the preseason. I mean, that's just my general assessment on what Trubisky should have this preseason. Play him the most out of all of them. If you're not going to play him at all in the regular season, you make sure he leaves the preseason with the most snaps taken of any quarterback that you have.
Oh, all right. I'm not disagreeing. I just think there also needs to be an emphasis on Glennon.
Well, I think people are
treating Glennon like he's been in the league for 10 years.
Right. I get that there needs to be an emphasis on Glennon, and part of that is making sure he's healthy for the regular season. I know the Patriots every year, they seem to push Tom Brady in some of these preseason games because they want to be ready, but you know, some of these hits they're taking, is it worth it? I don't know.
Well, you don't want him to get hurt. I completely agree. But, I mean, it's not like Glennon's throwing that many passes in the NFL.
I know. You said 11. I think you said it twice already.
But I'm talking about overall. How many snaps did I review when he came to the Bears? Was like 600? There's too many.
Now you're saying there's too many?
Too many for me to watch. Not too
No, I get your point. The guy's got to play. And then believe me, they're going to give him plenty of opportunities. I just think they could come at the expense of Mark Sanchez and not Mitch Trubisky. You get my point?
Oh, I agree with you on that one. If there's any, I mean, at this point,
if you're taking anybody's snaps away in the preseason, it's Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, he needs.
Mike Glennon needs work.
Sanchez is fine.
Mark Sanchez.
We know what he is.
Yes.
You just need to make sure he's comfortable with the offense, which I don't see any issue there right now.
Again, he's been the best quarterback here multiple days.
Yeah. All right. How about other guys on the roster? Jordan Howard, play or not play?
That's a guy that you need to be very careful with.
I wouldn't play him.
At all in the preseason?
Maybe
a little bit in the third?
I'd say a little bit in the third. I would not play him Thursday night.
Okay.
I say no to that. Now, the only thing is Langford's not ready. He's exercising, according to John Fox. So we'll see him in October. I'm just kidding. I don't know how hurt Langford is. He rolled his ankle in a walkthrough.
Not good.
So you got so if you don't play Howard, you're rolling with Kadeem Carey, Tariq Cohen, Benny Cunningham, and
Josh Rounds.
Which I haven't even updated in my.
I mean, you're not going to play Kyle Long. You're probably not going to play Josh Sitton. Maybe Josh Sitton. Do you really need to expose Jordan Howard to?
No, I wouldn't play him.
No,
you still got four running backs to roll with.
Yeah.
And in fact, the way they've been using Tariq Cohen, now you need to see him operate in a real live game, but I would sort of protect him too at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he needs some work. I'm not saying don't play Tariq Cohen, but I'm not sure you're going to see. I'm not making the same argument for Cohen as I am for Trubisky. I'm not sure he needs the reps.
Yeah. Kevin White's a player that needs the reps. As much as you want to be cautious with injuries and stuff.
Oh, I mean, playing Kevin White for sure.
A ton. He's got to find the confidence.
Remember, Kevin White played, he and Leonard Floyd played a lot in that fourth preseason game last year.
Yeah, they did.
Which usually you don't play guys that are definitely going to make
teams. Well, Kevin White played like the whole first quarter, I believe.
Yeah, and he needed it. How about Cam Meredith?
I'd be careful.
Maybe a little bit, maybe a series or two. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the thing I would say is if you're gonna have Glennon play meaningful snaps.
Oh, he better be out there with meaningful
players. He better at least, have his wide receivers. Yeah.
And if there's one highlight from today, if we're talking about Mike Glennon, who had fumbleitis today, we forgot to mention that.
He did have fumbleitis.
During a 2-minute drill.
And Cody Whitehair snapped the ball over his head, which is really hard to do.
Yeah.
He's 6'8", and he's got probably another 3 inches on his arms.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, 3 feet.
So, yes, you want him out there with players of significance. But, again, I would make one of them Jordan Howard. Zach Miller, health reasons.
I mean, I think he would probably want the reps at least a little bit as he's getting back into football shape. But, yeah, that's another one. But is he a bubble guy?
I don't think so. I think some of the Daniel Brown mojo has calmed down a bit.
I think so, too. I would personally keep Zach Miller over a Dan Brown or Ben Broniker.
You could probably Ben Broniker right now. Ben Broniker could probably go back to the practice squad, I believe.
Right. Deion Sims. Deion Sims is a guy I might not play a whole lot.
How about defense? You already know Danny Trevathan's not going to play. Doesn't look like Willie Young's going to play. Akeem Hicks?
Trevathan's definitely not playing. I wouldn't play Hicks.
Yeah. Hicks might not play himself.
Hicks is an interesting one because, ongoing contract talks, trying to get an extension. If I'm Drew Rosenhaus, I'm saying my guy's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
Why should he play? I would be shocked if Akeem Hicks takes the field Thursday night.
Lamar Houston needs to play.
But he's been limited. I don't think he will.
No. He needs to play. Secondary. A lot of free agent additions in that secondary.
How about Eddie Goldman? Eddie Goldman's a guy that they can't afford to get hurt. But you could argue he needs the reps after all the time Mitch missed last year. I wouldn't play him a lot, though. I think you're looking more so, hey, what can John Jenkins do? Hey, what can C.J. Wilson do? You need to see Jay Howard out there. You want to see more from Jonathan Bullard. I mean, these are the guys you're playing a lot on Thursday, I would think. Even Mitch Unrein, you know what he is. Like, he doesn't even need to play that much.
No.
Jarrell Freeman?
I wouldn't play him more than a series. A lot of these guys that we're mentioning, I wouldn't play more than a series. I bet you Mike Glennon only gets a series.
One series?
Mm-hmm.
We just talked. What?
Yeah. Again, I'm not to the side.
He needs
the
work.
I think he does. He totally needs the work. But you know how they get.
If Mike Glennon only plays one series, that means Mark Sanchez is probably only going to play one series. You're just going to play Trubisky the entire game then.
I would.
I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be split up a little bit more even than that. Pernell McPhee. I just wanted to throw out his name.
I haven't seen him.
When will we see him?
Yeah.
October? This defense is interesting. Prince Amukamara.
Marcus Cooper's been dealing with a little
Marcus Cooper's got
things.
In. Kyle Fuller got beat by Tanner Gentry today.
I just beat burnt.
Oh, my God.
Burnt. 50. I marked it down as 50-plus yards.
Mark Sanchez, bomb down the right sideline.
Good pass.
Adrian Amos late to get over, but Kyle Fuller was left in the dust.
Mm-hmm. By Tanner Gentry.
That's one of those handful of plays every training camp where
he's making plays, though.
Oh, I told you I liked him. He made some really, if you look at his Wyoming highlight reel, it's impressive. I'm kind of surprised he didn't, I thought he's worth a draft pick more than Daniel Braverman was.
Bears didn't have a seventh round pick.
And that's just me coming as the weirdo who actually watched Wyoming football from time to time.
Yeah.
Like, knew who he was.
I've seen his highlight reel.
So, I don't know if he's going to get a spot on this team. There's a lot of wide receivers, but I would be surprised if he's not on the
practice. Well, he's one player
spot.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of in the preseason because you want to know if it's real or not.
Right.
You know, like Daniel Braverman was a star down here.
It's true. There's training camp stars.
Yes.
And I'm trying not to base too much on, like, a lot of Braverman stuff was like he was just making a lot of catches. They were throwing the ball to him a lot. Gentry's made two plays that I put more stock in and say it's better than anything that Braverman did last year. I don't know if you were here yet last week when he went up and over Quinton Demps in the end zone. It was kind of a jump ball situation. I don't even remember which quarterback threw it. But Gentry literally, like, the ball looked like Demps was going to intercept it, and Gentry, like, reached over him and pulled the ball in over him. Like, if it had happened in a game, it would be, like, a top 10 play on SportsCenter. It was really impressive. And then today, like, he must have run a great route to just get by Kyle Fuller and have him beat by that much. That's impressive. But that ball that he – it wasn't, like, right
no,
in
wasn't
it.
Easy.
He reached his arms out and caught it in stride. It was pretty – it was a pro catch.
No, he stood out. You just want to see it against other competition.
So he's a guy you'll see, yeah. So wide receivers, Marcus Wheaton's probably the only one you won't see at all.
No.
By the way, side story on Marcus Wheaton, just give him some props. He's obviously hurt right now after the appendectomy. Today was military day, and while the team was stretching, he went over and signed off. He must have spent 10 minutes over there signing off.
Maybe even longer.
Yeah, he was over there for a long time.
The trainer had to come and get him for the workouts.
Yeah, he was signing autographs, taking photos with service members and their families. And, you know, that stuff's good to see. So
just a very personable guy. Even when we stand on the sidelines, he comes and says hi to us.
Yeah.
Literally taps every single one of us on the shoulder and says hello.
Yeah. I like Marcus Wheaton.
Yes.
They like him, too. They're paying him a good amount of money.
So. I'm writing this column, we'll call it a column.
Okay.
Are we all overlooking or underrating the Bears' receiver core? Are we all just writing them off for no good reason? People are.
I have said it's an interesting group.
Is it interesting as in good or interesting as...
It's almost like when you look at a college football conference and you go, well, it's not top heavy, but it's deep. Like, there's not a lot of teams competing for the national title in this conference, but you go all the way down to like 7 or 8 deep and you're going, oh, a lot of bowl teams here.
Yeah.
A lot of solid football teams that could win any given week. You know, that's the kind of way I look at this wide receiver depth chart.
Great analogy.
You don't have... You certainly don't have your pro bowlers at the top.
No.
You know, maybe if Cam Meredith continues ascending in year three, he'll have a case. Or if Kevin White starts playing like seventh overall pick, he'll have a case. But nowhere near that right now. You don't have all pros at the position. But when you're going, you're rolling third teamers out there that are Victor Cruz and even Reuben Randall, who's had some success in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting group.
Even then, I think it's important to have a smart context of what your expectations should be for these receivers. Nobody's expecting Kendall Wright to go out there and have 1,000 yards receiving.
Right.
And if that's what your bar is set for him, you need to lower it. The Bears aren't even expecting that from him. Would they love it? Of course. But no, you take a 600-yard season, 700-yard season. He has the incentives built in his contract. Look, if you have White and Meredith flirting with 1,000 yards, let's not forget to mention that the tight ends are arguably the Bears' strongest position group right now.
Well, I think that's why they think they can get away with not having all pros at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Because of Jordan Howard at running back and a combination of Zach Miller, Deion Sims, and Adam Shaheen at tight end.
You have threats on offense, yeah, which will open things up for, look, a Victor Cruz could still outwork or outmaneuver an inexperienced nickelback. Kendall Wright probably could too. Marcus Wheaton could maybe fly by one or two. You just have different flavors of receivers now.
Flavors
like that?
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I'm going to ask you this question, see if you get the same person I'm thinking of. If you had to pick one player on offense, so it could be any position, one player from what you've seen that could potentially have, I don't know if I want to say like Hall of Fame career, but like a really, like become the next like Chicago Bears star.
Okay.
That everyone, not everyone, you know, a lot of jerseys sold, here for a long time, Pro Bowls, the whole deal. Who would you pick?
I think I got three players in mind. I think Cody Whitehair is going to be a perennial Pro Bowl player.
Okay.
But he's a center.
He's a center.
I don't see many.
But you're going down the right track.
Yes, yes. I think Adam Shaheen.
That's the guy I'm talking about.
Okay. I was going to mention Jordan Howard as well.
I mean, Howard's got a chance. And really, the correct answer here, or the answer that it should be, is Mitch Trubisky. Okay, well, the number two overall pick.
I wrote about this on Sunday. There are throws he makes. He's just got a very special ability to complete passes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think he's throwing through windows that don't exist.
Yeah.
And he's completing these balls over the middle. And I get that Jay Cutler would gun balls over the middle and make these impressive completions. Mitch Trubisky has some velocity in his throws, but he's doing it in different ways. His anticipation of not only coverage but where his receiver is going, I think it's pretty special.
Yeah. Well, I hey, you know how I feel about Trubisky. I think there's a good chance that he's a good player.
But yes, Shaheen is.
But I'm
out.
Trying to go yeah. off of like guys, like just you're going first impressions. Shaheen has the some of the plays we've seen him make already in the end zone, and just the sheer size. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I understand why they call him Baby Gronk.
Yeah.
The comparison I've seen a lot of is a different tight end that Ryan Pace is very familiar with, and that's Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
The fade he caught last Friday from Mike Glennon in the end zone, it was just a, oh, we're going to shift him out left, and I'm sitting there in stands and go, oh, this is going to be fade. And that's what happens. Defenses know it's coming.
Yeah.
But he's got one-on-one coverage out there. Unless you call timeout, it's not changing.
Right.
I think we saw this maybe it was before, I don't know, somewhere in my head I have like this image of Gronk doing that to the Bears. He got hurt in practice last year, so it couldn't have been last year.
It was a couple of years ago.
Maybe in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe in that game in New England when Lamar Houston tore his ACL celebrating. I just remember like, uh-oh, Gronk's got one-on-one coverage. You better call timeout or that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that's what happened on that play Friday. It was, oh, I want to see this.
Well, he ran there.
And he just boxed out the safety.
Yeah.
And it was good coverage. Didn't matter.
He ran a route on Demps. I think it was Demps. God, it could have been the same play. But he ran straight at him, planted his foot, and pivoted and spun around like he was boxing him out in the paint. Now, we know he has a basketball background.
Yeah.
And completely just couldn't see Demps. Ball was up. That's Adam Shaheen's ball. He completely boxed them out.
Yeah.
And you speak of these basketball backgrounds, and you like that in the red zone when things get tight. It's so valuable. It's like speed guys, like a guy like Cohen in the red zone. Yeah, there's different things you could do with it. But when you have a guy like an Adam Shaheen who could literally box another human being out and then out-jump him, such a threat. Such a threat.
And today, this was a crossing route. But same thing. I mean, he's got one-on-one man coverage, and it was a good ball by Sanchez that let him perfectly, but the defender had no chance.
Yeah.
What Shaheen has is just the raw physical abilities. Why he got drafted in the second round, even though he went to Ashland.
Yeah.
He has the size. He has the ability to run. Now, the big question with him, and we actually talked to him about this today, is just the blocking. He's never blocked. They didn't ask him to block in college. And you can go look at his tape and there were very few instances where he actually had to do it.
Well, a lot of tight ends have this problem. I'll take the special pass catcher. You can teach him the block.
Yeah, exactly.
You already got your inline tight end, Deion Sims, who could do some dirty things, right?
Yeah. And actually, I think Deion can do more in the passing game that people give him credit for. I love the Deion Sims signing, by the way. And I still like Zach Miller. Zach Miller said today, though, the right answer. He was asked, what's your goal for the year? He said, I only have one goal, stay healthy. When he's healthy, he's a good player.
He is.
He's had a couple good seasons.
Talk about a guy who's improved his blocking over the years.
Yeah. That, and that was, and he laughed at that today when he was asked about Shaheen's blocking, because he goes, look, I was a quarterback. I had the same thing. I had to learn how to block at the NFL level. This is the first time he's ever had to do it. It's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't do it, he's only going to be in on special situations. But
I think you're going to see a lot of Adam Shaheen this year.
I do too.
I think you're going to see a lot of Tariq Cohen this year.
Isn't that funny? It's just you heard it everywhere. It wasn't just the Trubisky trade. Ryan Pace got killed after that draft. It wasn't just Trubisky. It was he drafted all these small school guys, and the only non-small school guy he drafted
has a rod in his leg.
How big is the rod? I don't know how big the rod is.
It's pretty thick. But anyway.
How big is the rod?
I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick. Yeah.
You know.
He's been – look, I'm trying not to get carried away over camp success. Right? You shouldn't. It all should come with perspective. But Eddie Jackson's another rookie. Even the hit he had on Cam Meredith today, I thought he was going to make the interception. It's a heck of a grab by Meredith. Beat him to the ball.
Those
in the middle.
Strong hands that hold on to that ball.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. But a collision in the middle of the field. And
he's got an instinctual ability to track the football very impressed with.
And that's what I noted on that play. Followed it right to Meredith, where I thought he was going to actually make the play himself. But Meredith, who's having a pretty good camp, came away with it. But I don't know if an Adrian Amos maybe he's in the vicinity there, but I don't think he's making the impact at the point of the catch like Eddie Jackson did.
I think Jackson's your starting free safety. I know it's early, and that's just my prediction. I guess if you were to say, like, what's your bold prediction right now? I think Jackson's going to be a starter by the time the season starts.
Well, did you see who was the starters at the end of the 2-minute drill? I can't say it.
Maybe you'll see it Thursday.
Yep.
When it's on TV.
See it. But yes, he's been very impressive. I think the team's very happy with what they've got there.
They need someone like that at safety to step up. It's been a long... But I guess, okay, what I was getting at there, okay, so we just covered it. Adam Shaheen, Tariq Cohen, Eddie Jackson. Potentially three. I just read in the Athlon Sports Magazine the preview. It like does a little blurb on the draft, and it was like, despite what Ryan Pace says, the Bears are going to get very little production from the rookies this year. They've got no chance to play. I added that last part. That wasn't in there, the last part about
but
no
that's
chance
what they're
to play.
Saying.
But like, that's what everyone's saying. And it's like, okay, well, Cohen and Shaheen and Jackson are going to play a lot.
Literally making plays.
And
all
they all
over
look
practice.
Good.
Yeah. And they're just not making plays against second, third teamers. Your starters. Season starters.
Yeah, early reps against quality.
Tariq Cohen was back with the ones today. I know you're not supposed to make too much out of it. And I can say it because John Fox acknowledged it today.
Well, he's been doing that since the beginning. I mean, they're getting him reps.
They
and
have a role there.
Yeah. Joker back.
And boy, does he look fast when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Fast, quick, elusive.
Yeah. He's going to be a fun player to watch, I think. Telling you, these rookies, you kill Ryan Pace for his draft class. And if Mitch Trubisky ends up sucking, it's not going to, you know, that's what the focus is going to be. But, you know, the one way he gets out of that, if that is the case, and actually, you know, I think Trubisky's going to be good. But if Trubisky is not good and it's a failed pick, the only way you get out of that as GM is if you added three other starters, though, with your three other picks.
You might be okay.
You might be okay. All right. We should probably get out of here.
Don't you got to go do TV?
TV, radio.
Superstar.
Basketball.
7:30 now. I might be late.
Oh, Adam John's being late for something.
These days get
unbelievable.
These days get away from
that. Never happens.
A lot to do.
I was thinking about it as I was sitting here waiting for you to show up 30 minutes late. Have you ever showed up on time?
Yes. Yes. I was
really
30 minutes early today.
Oh, for practice?
For practice.
Yeah.
Things take time, okay. Adam. Things
How about
take
30
time.
Minutes early for something that...
I think I'm on time for the podcast at your place.
Usually. Sometimes.
No!
Adam Jones.
Right. All right. Thanks, Kyle.
Kyle Long, everybody. Maybe we'll see him. You think he plays in a preseason game? Any of them?
Not, yes.
Third. He's not playing Thursday.
No, he's going to play in the third one.
You think so?
Yes. All right. Not much, but he will.
Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Jaws, J-A-H-N-S. Especially during the game. We'll be there. We'll have tweets.
We will have tweets.
Tweets and things.
It's exciting, though. Once the new quarterbacks.
Yeah. Hey, I'm excited.
I'm kind of excited.
I want to see Trubisky play. No question about it.
I want to see Glennon play a little bit.
WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please find the podcast on iTunes. Rate it. Review it. Also, if you're out here in Bourbonnais, say hi. Appreciate it. We got a lot of podcast listeners down here in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, definitely come say hi.
Take pictures of us from behind. Mm-hmm. Like we saw today.
Saying I'm the creep. Just kidding.
All right. Preseason, Thursday. We'll be there. See you later. Bye.
How big is the
round? I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick. Yeah.